take us. Goodyear, more driven.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. We're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308 La Rose. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
USA defeats Haiti 1-0. Italy wins on PKs. Penalty kicks. Jordan's upset. I'm happy. He thinks it's boring. Awful take. But Coach Kenny Farrell, the Jesters, agree with him. We'll talk to Jack in 10 seconds. Also last night, game three of the NBA Finals, 120-100. Sound from that coming up next here as well. Marlon Favorite, 215. Rest of the way is open, so if you'd like to chime into the conversation as well. Jack, thanks for holding on, man. What do you have, buddy?
Hey, guys. Gus, on one hand, I do agree with you. It is entertaining. But I learned something about you today. You would rather be entertained than actually have the best team win. So, because you played this tournament for a month, mm-hmm. okay? And it comes down to that. And see, look, I have a couple of suggestions. Not that anybody's going to listen to me, mm-hmm. but I think soccer and hockey is different because kind of what Jordan was just saying. The hockey goal is so much smaller. You know, it's so much smaller space for the goalkeeper to, you know, to protect. You know, the soccer goal is about 12, 15 feet wide. So really, he's just guessing. He's guessing which way the guy's going to go. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of random. Okay, so what I would do is maybe have a defender, because, you know, you were talking about there's penalty kicks in the middle of games. Yeah, there are, but the team that the penalty kick's going against, they deserve that penalty. They pulled somebody down in the box, or they did something to have the penalty kicked against them. This is just, they're tired of playing, and, you know, well, this is the only way we could think of the end of the game. But what I was going to say is you maybe have a guy going against another guy and the goalkeeper. You know, where you're playing one-on-one against a guy, against a defender, but also the goalkeeper.
But then it would be two against one.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's to be – most of the time when you watch soccer games, penalty kicks are pretty – I would say they're probably 80, 85%. You know, because like I said, the guy's just guessing.
Right.
He doesn't know which way the guy's going to kick. Yeah.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's kind of random.
But that's why it makes it exciting to me that when that block does happen, and here's the other element of it, too, what you're just saying, as Jordan said here as well, even Kenny, does the best team win? Well, what is the best team? It's the team that finds a way to win. I mean, the Nets lost. They have the best talent in the NBA, right? They lost. Now, you could say it was because of injury and all, but I get it. But so what? This finals doesn't, you know, legitimize because... The best team? Well, who is the best team? Because here's the other thing, Jack. The best team is subjective. Somebody may think it's Italy. Somebody may think it's Germany. Somebody may think it's England. I mean, so who is the best team and what makes them the best team?
Yeah, but the NBA championship isn't going to be decided on a game of horse. I mean, really, that's closer to what... This is just something that they made up to end games because they don't want them to go on forever. So, okay. You know, the other option, I think, is, okay, normally in a soccer game, there's 8 to 10 guys sitting on the bench. I think once you get to overtime, maybe expand the substitutions. Usually you can only substitute 3 or 4 guys. Everybody's eligible after that. I just think that might be a better way to do it because this just seems really random. Gus, and to your point, it was enjoyable, but I think, you know, for a month or 6 weeks, however long they were doing that,
right,
for it to end that way, I just think it's a little, you know.
Okay, look, it's fair. You gave me the reason. And it makes, all right, you know, I see that. I just, to me, it's exciting. It's fine. But I'm also the guy, Jack, and I'm going to probably make Kenny Farrell, who's listening, drive off there. I think this should be a limited substitutions. This 3 substitution thing's a joke. I need some substitutions. Give me some scoring.
Right. I agree with you.
Sub in left and right, you know, so I'm in with that.
And Gus, I had a couple about the U.S. men's national team. I hope people realize that most of their good players are in Europe right now, and their season starts in a month. So they're not playing. So these are guys that are just backups. Some of them might not even end up on a team. So, the Pulisic, all of those guys, they play in England, they play in Germany, and their season starts on August the 13th, so the teams aren't letting them play. And guys, I just have one thing to say about the Astros. I did grow up an Astros fan, but I don't want them to win. I don't want them to win because I'm an Astros fan. I want them to win because it bothers people so much. I mean, really, I just, you know, because people act like baseball is this pristine game. Mm-hmm. They've been cheating forever. The Astros just use better technology. You know, they've been trying to steal signs. Gaylord Perry, when I was a kid, Gaylord Perry put spit on the ball. He put grease on the ball. They still put him in the Hall of Fame. it's, you know.
Right. No, I'm with you, man. So, like I said, it's the one sport where literally that's kind of what they've done, right, to try to do that. So
I think they should just embrace the cheating aspect of the game.
Embrace the cheating.
And then it would be way more entertaining.
Because, look what they do with the balls. I mean, this year when the balls just fly out the park, and other years where nobody can score runs. It's because baseball's playing with the, you know, how tight the balls are wound and all kind of other stuff. I mean,
if the pitcher and the batter have a beef, I keep referencing hockey a lot, it seems like today, but maybe just let them throw hands instead of just throwing a 90-mile-an-hour rock at a guy's head. Just let them, you know, duke it out. Let them fight each other on the mound.
See, this is what happens when I open the mic and let you. What are you remotely talking about? You literally are telling me you don't like the post game or the extra time in soccer because it's not soccer.
This is still in the game.
Now you want. We box in baseball? Did I miss something? When do we box in baseball?
I mean, when batters charge them out,
yeah,
are they not trying to fight each other?
And what happens after that? They get thrown out of the game.
Exactly.
Because that's not baseball.
Whoever loses gets thrown out the game.
Oh, my. You know what? Jack.
Would it not make baseball more interesting?
It's only Monday, and he's giving me a headache, Jack. It's only Monday.
You just said about the NBA and 1v1s after a 5-minute
You play
overtime.
One-on-one. Have you not seen isolation
don't
ball
act
in
like,
the game?
Don't act like my recommendation for a baseball game is so outlandish when you
have
me tweet
out. How have the Pelicans
out.
Blown it? By playing iso ball one-on-one. That's in the game. That happens in the game.
Yeah, but now there's not even a full team out there. It's just
all right, Jack, before we let you go, Coach Kenny Farrell just texts. He's listening. He says, how about this an extra time? He thinks it should be 7-on-7. Take 4 players off of each team and then go at it. And that should produce more scoring, he says. 7-on-7.
Yeah, I mean, have something like competition, you know? I just think this is so random the way it is. And look, I'm a new soccer fan. I've only come to this last few years. So I realize there's some things that I just don't understand. But it is entertaining. I just don't think it produces. And guys, one last thing, and I'm going to get out. After game one, I really thought that Phoenix would win in 5 games. But with the injuries to the front line with Phoenix, I don't think Ayton can stop him on his own. He's going to get beat up. He's going to get fouls every game. Don't you think so?
Tell you what, it's interesting, man. I'm going to play what Chris Paul had to say on DeAndre and some advice. And you're right, after a very good first game, kind of not as good last game in game two. And yesterday, I mean, the whistles took him out of that game for sure. Thank you, Jack, for the phone call, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. Here's what Chris Paul had to say on DeAndre Ayton and keeping his head up. And here you go.
Keep playing. You know, sometimes you're going to get a good whistle. Sometimes you're going to get a bad whistle. But he's playing hard. You know what I mean? That's a talent in itself. And then it's tough, man. Giannis coming at you full speed like a running back. You know what I mean? So he's trying to put his hands up. But it's tough.
Giannis, 42 points, game two, follows it up with 41 yesterday. Came out early in that first quarter. Wasn't happy when that happened, huh?
Was not happy at all.
You know, Portis wasn't happy either when it took him out when he was playing well, huh? Is what Giannis had to say on that?
I was extremely happy. And I knew that watching my teammates play, you know, good basketball, and, it gave me a chance to, you know, come back. And at the end of the day, that's all I can ask for. You know, I'm happy that I'm able to be out there. You know, win or lose, doesn't matter the outcome. You know, like, I feel like everybody worked so hard to be in this moment. And me personally, and I'm not trying to make that about me. So I was happy. I was happy that, you know, I have a chance. I had a chance to come back and enjoy and play with my teammate. And no matter what the outcome is, just be out there with them.
And that's him, obviously, having to watch for a couple of those playoff games and seeing his team be able to get the wins to get to the NBA Finals. Now, as I mentioned, he has two back-to-back games of 40 points. You might have heard of him. Michael Jordan, you know who that is?
Yeah.
How many did he have?
Four.
Four 40-point games.
The last player to do it was Shaq, and that was two back-to-back. Yeah. Or a back-to-back.
So in today's day and age, the media had to ask Giannis, can you do it?
I'm not Michael Jordan. Four 40 points in a straight two?
Four in a row.
Yeah, I'm not Michael Jordan. But, you know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all. You know, just take care of business, doing our job.
All right. Monty Williams on the loss.
You know, this is one of those games that you typically – in NBA speak, say flush it, you know, that, but you can't in the finals. We got to watch the film and learn and, you know, get back to playing our kind of basketball consistently. We saw it in spurts, just didn't have enough of it tonight to hold them off and maintain any level of consistency. Usually when we play with a great deal of force and edge, the consistency follows. We just weren't consistent with that tonight.
How surprised, or did you see anything that would make you think that the Bucks did some adjustment? It's just one of those nights. I mean,
it was
Devin Booker going
1-7,
3-14. I'm with you. Again, it's why I said, though, remember in game one, like everything went well and right. Now, let me ask you this, because we talked about pressure with trying to find a quarterback with Sean Payton earlier in his interview with Fletcher Mackel. We'll play that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We'd had to say on that and finding a quarterback. But would the pressure in this series switch if Milwaukee wins next week? I mean, on Wednesday, the next game.
No.
Because I still think Phoenix is the better team. Don't you?
Phoenix is definitely still the better team. I mean, you saw what they did in the first quarter. They were actually leading the Bucks, and I think the second quarter for the Phoenix Suns, that's where they just completely fell apart.
Yeah.
And I think they were down what?
It was a 35-17 quarter.
Exactly. So it was basically, they doubled their points in the second quarter. So I think that was the turning point in that game last night, and Phoenix could never recover. And Giannis and the crowd just kept things going on. Right. So I just don't think that the Phoenix Suns, that's what they're going to be, the kind of product that they're going to be putting out the next couple of games.
Here's what Monty had to say about Booker bouncing back.
It was really good. Game two, every shot you guys needed, he made it. What do you think about his performance tonight? Overall, what was it, their defense, their negative spots? What do you think?
Probably a bunch of everything. Their aggression, their defense, they keyed on him. He missed some shots. So that's going to happen. He's been in this situation before, as you guys alluded to. When you get to the finals, it means you've been in a number of situations. So this is nothing new to us anymore. He'll bounce back.
As for bouncing back, Devin Booker.
Just like I said, it's a series and understanding that and, you know, understanding it's the NBA Finals. And, you know, I said it after last game, you know, this team's not going to give in. They're going to keep playing all the way through. So we have to bring that same effort, you know, that we had in the first two games, and I think we'll be in good shape.
No doubt. And I think it'll be interesting to see at the game three. It'll be the calls is another thing. Monty Williams said, I don't want to complain about calls, but one guy had 17, we had 16.
Yeah.
Giannis, well, 17 free throws, the Suns just 16 as a team.
And it's also it's very dangerous when one of the teams loses a game like that in the NBA Finals, losing by 20 points. Mm-hmm. I don't think any team ever wants to play the next game in that series, because it almost feels like that they're going to come out and play for something that, you know, that they lacked in game three. So I think the Phoenix Suns are going to come out firing on all cylinders if they already weren't.
All right. Before we go to Marlon Faber, our next segment, this is for you.
What?
I still think your argument's ridiculous.
I know, it's right,
but you know what?
The majority of the
coach
people.
Coach thinks you're kind of right. Jack's on your side.
The logical approach.
No. Mike Greenberg.
Penalty kicks are to soccer what overtime is to college football, which is to say, it's exciting, but it is a completely ridiculous way to determine the outcome of something important. Here's the deal. If you are one who does not like the idea of putting a runner on second base in extra innings, how can you defend this nonsense?
I'm not. I like it. I'm good with it. Give me an outcome. Give me a winner.
Give an outcome. Get it over with. That's what you're basically saying. Just get it over with. I'm tired of watching
If we're going with your ridiculous notion that I just want to get it over because I got somewhere to be, which is not what I'm saying.
Well, that's what basically
bring
is.
Bring finality to something. What does it matter how you do it?
Eventually, it's going to happen.
Oh, eventually. Yes.
Why tarnish the amount of work that you put in?
This is what we're doing tomorrow. You're going to just jog in place for 90 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'll give you like a 5-minute break. I mean, you'll get your halftime. I'm just going to jog. Just from here to the door, back, do your segments, just jogging in place. And then we'll try yours eventually. We'll just, for all 3 hours tomorrow, you're going to jog in place.
Okay.
Just do that for me.
Well, we don't know if it could last. We don't know if a game could last for 3 hours because we've never seen one because of a stupid rule.
No, and I do know for a fact that we have games that end with like no score. 90 minutes.
Yeah, and I think
let's play another 90. And guess what's going to happen? Hamstring tears, injuries are going to happen, Jordan. You know why? Because they only sub 3 players. If you subbed all the time and you sub more players, I'd be with you on that. Let it keep playing out.
This is for a championship. Who cares if you tear anything?
Oh, that's right.
Isn't this what you work for?
No, you know who cares? The Premier League and all the other teams that have these players. I'm pretty sure they care. Yeah, they care. Again, it's still a skill. You have to try to score. You think it's so easy. Get up there, put a ball there, kick it in the goal.
I don't understand why you're against it. I think I could actually score.
Oh, here we go.
If you give me enough tries, obviously. It's not just going to be like...
Well, just give you 50, and you'll make one. Yeah. That's the point. That is why I think it's exciting. You get one try. One try. And as Kenny said, some of these guys doing the one try haven't kicked the ball all game. I'm in. One try. Goalie's got one shot. Left, right. Where are you going? I love it. Chance. No difference in flipping the coin.
Oh, awesome. So now the Euro Cup is up. Is this pen going to, you know, land on with the side with the words, or is it going to land on the side with no words? Oh, it looks like they won the Euro Cup final. Awesome.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, by flip of a coin, heads or tails. Might as well just do that instead because that's more entertaining.
SEC Media Days is next week. Ed Ogeron speaks on Monday, a week from today. Marlon Favorite will join us next. We'll touch on that and some other interesting tidbits when we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing. Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, yeah.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Just as you put fuel in your car to drive from point A to point B, you need to put fuel in the form of food in your body to achieve peak performance. Good nutrition leads to increased recovery, high concentration, high confidence, and ultimately high performance.
The first tip to good sports nutrition is increasing the number of times you eat per day. An example of a well-balanced day would include breakfast, a mid-morning snack, lunch, pre-practice snack, recovery snack, dinner, and an optional nighttime snack. This is helpful because the athlete may experience an increase in stabilized metabolism, maintain level blood sugars, receive constant energy and nutrients to muscles, prevent late night overeating, and ensure adequate calories throughout the day.
Breakfast is your kickstart for the day to maintain focus, return blood sugars to normal, and be your best as early as possible. Some good breakfast foods may be a smoothie, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, apple slices with peanut butter, waffle with fresh fruit, egg and turkey sausage, or yogurt. Lunch sustains metabolism, stabilizes blood sugar, and assists in meeting caloric goals. Some good lunch options may be peanut butter sandwich, turkey club sandwich, grilled chicken salad, ham and cheese wrap, or grilled tuna with vegetables. Snacks fuel your body, provide energy before workout, keeps you focused all day, maintains stable blood sugar, and keeps you from overeating at any given meal. Some good snacks may be roasted nuts, cracker and pretzel mix, bananas, peanut butter, or yogurt with fresh fruit.
Snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes.
Timing is everything when it comes to your recovery snack, so be sure to refuel your body within 30 to 60 minutes post-workout, practice, or game.
If you have questions about nutrition before activity, snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes. Please call the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodaux.com. 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com. Call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com.
I rescued Toes from a shelter in 2011. I love Toes because she's a lazy diva. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003 over on social media and Twitter. Jordan, are you getting any love and support?
I mean, I wouldn't say either of us are getting any love or support.
Okay.
But if they were, then I would be getting
a Marlon Fave, right? Big Fave 504 is the way to follow him on Twitter. And, of course, over on the podcast, Inside the Trenches. Marlon, do you like penalty kicks in soccer at all?
I can do with them or without them. I know either or.
Okay, either or. Jordan's upset because he doesn't think it's, like, you know, part of the game. Mike Greenberg thinks college football overtime is ridiculous. I love it. I think it's great. Do you like college football overtime?
I like it. It actually makes the game feel more like a professional game. So I'm not opposed to college overtime. No, I actually like it.
What about the argument of tiring? It means you have injuries and all this. I love it. I think the college overtime should be in the NFL overtime.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that'll work.
Just rather than, like, two teams, I don't know, like Jordan, let's play a whole nother quarter and then try to get a field goal. I just strap it up. Go at it. But, Marlon, I think the way games end, you know, it's always an interesting debate. That's how it ended. I always feel the same way about this, is that, you know, you could have won the game earlier. There's every game has moments in the game in which you can make it, right? Like I had this conversation with Maddie last Tuesday about, you know, the Nola no call and stuff like that. Yes. Can a call, can a play at a certain part of the game be crucial and determining and factor it? Yeah. But you can win games and lose them early in different parts of a game, huh?
Yeah, you can. And it all has a lot to do with momentum shift, Gus. If you look at, like, let's say, for instance, this is a funny one. I just saw this on Twitter a few days ago, a Nashville Tom Brady joke, when he was talking about the Atlanta game when he won the Super Bowl in the 28-3. That was all momentum shift, right? That was, you know, you got the game looking one way for about two quarters, and then there you go, boom, the shift. No overtime needed. The Patriots won that one. So, you know, you look at games like that and just pay attention to how big momentum plays a role.
Speaking of momentum, I was talking about the opening segment, Marlon, that I thought fans played a big role. I think in the soccer games over the weekend, in the NBA Finals game yesterday, we've seen it really in all three games, the momentum that it can spur you and give you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking forward to it. I missed it. I missed whether it's Tiger Stadium or whether it's the Dome, an atmosphere where you can legitimately sort of feel energy from that and how it's to spur you on. As somebody that's played in Tiger Stadium, how can legitimately a crowd give you energy? Marlon?
Yeah, I'm here, Gus. I'm sorry, I had some phone issues. Yeah, so basically, when you look at inside the stadium and the fans, they don't realize all of their energy, we feel that on the field. Like, you can tell when it's a light game. Like, I can remember playing for the New Orleans Voodoo, having, like, only a couple hundred fans there. And you try to get up, but it's not a lot of people. Whereas I remember games in Tiger Stadium where you had no choice but to make a big play because of the energy that you're getting from the crowd. So I think altogether, fans should know their presence at the game itself. I know a lot of times, because trust me, I've attended a lot of games and, you know, didn't realize if the crowd, if the players feel me cheering or if the players could even see me screaming.
Right.
And believe it or not, yeah, we hear it. We actually look forward to it. So, you know, that what seems like a cliche, the fans, you know, y'all that 12th man or, you know, whatever terminologies different teams use to identify their fan base. No, y'all are real intangible in a lot of these games.
I think one of the other aspects that stand out to me, like when crowds can sort of make a difference or momentum and such, it's not just your turf, right, but the other team that's on the road. And we've talked about this before, Marlon. I've asked you some of the toughest places that you have gone to play and things of that nature. But can that get in your head before even kickoff, man, before, like, you're warming up? Have you seen players, or has it happened to you, where you're like, oh, I know I'm going to the Swamp, I'm going to Tuscaloosa, I know what I'm about to get, and all of a sudden you kind of lose before getting there?
Yeah, those type things can happen. Not so much in college football, I can remember, but I can remember, like, going to, like, San Jose playing for the New Orleans Voodoo. Like, man, their fan base is better than ours. Their players are getting treated better. So they kind of go into the game with more momentum, and you kind of go into the game like all the cards are stacked up against you. But to be quite honest with you, every time I went into the Swamp, I felt like we're going to leave out here victorious, even when it was times that we lost. But that was just simply because of how we prepared, Gus. And then even kind of to take it back to the fan thing that you were talking about, I was watching a game last night, and I slowly but surely saw that Milwaukee fan base crank it up. Like, just yeah, being stank with the players, you know. And Portis got on the court. He kind of brought another boost of energy. And I think all of that led to the game flattening out for the Suns. But all credit to the Milwaukee fan base. You know, a local Milwaukee guy singing the national anthem to start the game off and saying, go Bucks. And, you know, the crowd feeding off of that energy really did play a major role. So it just really depends. Like, even when we travel, Gus, when I was at LSU, certain fan bases really, you know, they really got to you. You know, so So I do remember those things about, you know, how the crowd could swing things.
Did you ever like one? Like, did you enjoy going to one place or another's because you liked the environment? Not that it made you nervous, but you just kind of liked it. It had a different atmosphere?
I did like the Rocky Top. I liked the atmosphere in Tennessee when we went and played out there. It's just to see a crowd larger than Tiger Stadium's or a crowd on a Tiger on a college weekend was just, I guess, exhilarating for me. Mm-hmm. You know, just to play and then to win that game, but to see all that orange in the crowd and everybody get hyped, it does, you know. And those years, Tennessee was okay, you know, okay to good. Went to SEC championship against us in 07. So they had, around that time, they had some ballers, you know, Eric Berry, you know, Robert Meacham, guys of that sort. But it's nothing. I thought Tennessee, out of all the places we played, you know, that crowd, how thick that crowd was pretty cool.
Final thing for you, sir. A week from today, SEC Media Days. By the time you come on next Monday, Coach Ed Ogeron, who goes second next Monday, will have spoken here. I kind of mentioned this to you a while back, you know, the old lists. It's time for lists. And they got Coach O down at the bottom, second to last, in terms of coaches in the SEC, including new ones that are just getting jobs there. What do you think about the job that Coach O does in terms of respect and just overall? Do you think it's because so much has been giving attention to the assistants and things of that nature that maybe he doesn't get looked at like a Nick Saban and such? Which, mind you, hires incredible assistants himself.
Right. I think it's just naturally people don't have respect for offense and defensive line-minded coaches. And it's not, if you look at it, Coach Sean Payton, he's known for being a offensive mind, could really draw up good routes and draw up nice plays. So you put him on his pedestal because his thought process drum up points. Or, you know, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, known for their defense and, you know, how well they are able to coordinate and show off, you know, leadership. When you take a guy like Ed Ogeron, Ed has always been like a defensive lineman cool. Like, I can remember coming up with just different people that we looked up to and mentors in that position. Names pop up in my head: Carl Dunbar, Pete Jenkins, and Ed Ogeron. Name gets thrown in that. So I think when he got the head coaching job, a lot of folks weren't sure because of that. And you could hear it, but, I mean, you got to give this guy credit for what credit is due. There's so many different elements around the game besides X's and O's dust. You know, you got to be able to talk to the student, you know, be able to relate to them so they can even perform for you. You have to recruit. I mean, and that's something that he does very well. He recruits. And I think some of the best leaders learned how to follow, you know, and he does a good job at following them. Because if you look at a lot of the folks he's bringing Coach Rob over from USC, you know, just doing different, you know, bringing in different elements of folks, you know, to the table to help push things. That says a lot about leadership, and it shows in his wins. I mean, on a very bad year, he goes 500 the year before, won a national championship, only after being a head coach for a few years. So I give him the credit that's due.
At Big Fave 504 is where to follow you on Twitter and on social media, other different ways here as well. Got to get the big gorilla gear, right?
Big dog. Big as a gorilla. Yeah, man. Y'all go to getgorillagear.com, man. Copy all y'all gorilla gear, brother. It's hot for the summer, and we're going to have it too cool for the winter. Hello, everybody.
Listen to me. 3 weeks before training camp, man. So Friday, next week. Well, when are you coming in studio, man? Come hang out with us.
I gotta get in studio. I hadn't had a chance to work with Jordan in a while.
Come on, we got a seat right in front of us. We can go through all the teams. We'll talk some football, some college. Just come on, come in here.
I'm coming, man. I'm before training camp is. I have to make my way in there. One of these only 3 weeks. Fridays. I'm
gonna get only 3 weeks away. That's it.
It's close, baby. I gotta get there.
Looking forward to it. All right, my man. Take care, sir. Looking forward to seeing you here shortly as well. Marlon Favorite, I make Faye 504 on Twitter and Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Quick break. We come back. Oh, there he is. See you later, bud. Hi, Jordan. What band is this? Oh, come on.
I get up.
Yeah, no, I know you know the song. What's the name of the song? Give me the song. Come on. Come on.
By Styx?
Because of, no, it's not by Styx. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Sometimes watching a flawless serve can make you realize,
wait a minute, I think I might love tennis.
So you get 2% cash back on rackets, 2% cash back on shoes, 2% cash back on gear, tennis balls, lessons. And before you know it, you've got a decent backhand.
I do have a decent backhand.
Get unlimited 2% cash back on purchases and be ready for your next passion with the new Wells Fargo Active Cash Visa Card. Terms apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. All rights reserved.
Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Fair or not fair that a player is known for a helmet in the butt? I mean, seriously, when I say Mark Sanchez, is that really what you remember Mark Sanchez for? Not as a seeker? Yeah. Like, nothing else?
ESPN kind of gave him that title. Because they played it every single. I don't think I ever watched ESPN without seeing the butt fumble.
Exactly. Just right in.
No, I think it's deserving.
You think that's deserving? You think he should be known as the butt fumble guy?
Kind of. I mean, what else did he do in his career?
Well, he's going to have another career now, apparently, per awful announcing.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez will reportedly be an NFL on Fox game analyst.
There you go. What?
Well, at least he's had experience on the field. Did you see the whole dispute over the weekend with Addison Rae?
I don't even know who that is. Who's Addison Rae?
She's like a social media influencer.
She one of those that dances on TikTok. Well, people go bananas.
Well, no, she tweeted over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I studied broadcast journalism in college for 3 whole months to prepare for this moment.
Okay,
and it was like her doing stuff with the UFC,
right?
And people, like, in our industry started, you know, sending, like, wow, disrespectful.
Oh, really? Is it?
A lot of people were, like, kind of going at her.
Oh.
Saying, it's like,
pretty incredible
I worked 6 years to get to this the position I'm in now.
Well, do you have however many followers?
Exactly.
I mean, again, you know what? Let me do this, because I just honestly think this is where we are. Right?
I'm ready for it. Get the segment.
Here it is.
Today's segment on who's not happy today.
Yes. Who's unhappy? Come on down. All the people that hate Addison Rae. No, I don't know who she is. But if somebody decides to pay her to be in front of a UFC backdrop and, I don't know, talk in the 24-hour pregame show that they got, what does it matter to you? Honestly, what does it matter to you? Guess what? It happens every day. People get jobs because of who they know. People get jobs because of how they look. Jordan, see this?
Welcome to the real world.
Look at that face right here. See, that's the only reason I got this job.
You do have an amazing face.
And yes, I may occasionally be one of those people that sits there, I don't know, like Mike Tannenbaum and some of these other clowns, like, what's his name? Mike Hahn or whatever. Alan Hahn? Zahn? Who's the clown that does the show with Bart Scott that says people don't come to New Orleans and unpack? Whoever it is.
Keyshawn?
No, it's the guy that's on with Bart Scott. Anyway, he's been filling in.
Oh, it is. I'm pretty sure it's Alan Hahn.
Yeah, exactly. That clown. You don't go to New Orleans and unpack. Got you. Yeah. And they make tons more than we make.
So, yeah, everyone has jealousy in that.
But that's not jealousy. That's a joke. Like, that's not, I'm not jealous.
You are jealous if you're going on about it this
much. No, I'm not jealous. When you can just literally spew nonsense and then get paid six figures.
If you're ranting about it, that means you have somewhat jealousy.
Okay, no. This is ridiculous, though. Like, you're that upset and bothered that you go to social media because she's out front doing whatever it is that she's doing. She's a media influencer to begin with. She doesn't have a real job. She's a social media influencer.
Well, that was another thing. All of a sudden, the tweets were coming out. They tell you to get a real job, and once you finally do, then...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Get a real job. She does. She got paid. Whoever was doing the broadcast paid her. Made the decision
Instead
to hire her.
Instead of making videos on social media. But that's not what I'm saying. Right. That's just what people have been saying.
And they got her fired.
Well, I think that was just like a one-time thing.
You think that's what it was? It's just, man, no one's happy. We live in a very unhappy world. No one can be happy for anybody. By the way, you know this, when it comes to like the sports world, I always say this. A guy can have a good game. Drew Holiday was garbage for two games, right? I didn't say that. I'm saying like literally, no, hear me out. Look, I mean, his stats weren't good, but the way he was talked about, right? He has one decent game yesterday. I mean, I've seen Drew play better, and Drew scored more than the 21. So, I mean, I'm not going to say about, you know, incredible game. I mean, Drew had a nice game. 21 points. He was 8 of 14, 5 threes, 9 assists. He had a great game. Great. Right? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was the same thing like with Giannis. Right? Game one, oh, it's got to be better. It's not enough.
No, it's career-defining.
Career-defining game four. I'm not even kidding you.
Who's saying this? I have an inkling that I know who it is.
Let me tell you something. There's one job this man has, and that is to make sure that at some way, somehow, this gets all brought back to LeBron.
Wait, the guy that was on our TV screen during the break?
He looks a little different. Looks a little healthier. Brian Windhorst on Giannis.
Last two games, he has been absolutely dominant. That play leads me to believe anything is possible in this series. And that Giannis is at the beginning of maybe assembling the type of dominating ability that we've known he could have when he got the two MVP awards. This is the player at this level that we thought we could have. And these last two games, I've seen it. And that's why I think game four and his performance is potentially a very pivotal moment, maybe in NBA history.
There was also another soundbite. Giannis is finally bought in. What do you mean?
Wait a minute. Pivotal moment in NBA history.
History. He's changing the game.
Oh, my gosh.
But nah, he's only won, what, two MVPs with the Bucks?
NBA history. Pivotal moment. How about his other teammates make a shot or two? The guy scored 40 and 41. But this one. This one's a pivotal moment. Zach Lowe?
So we have this fancy tracking data that can tell me how many times a player does pretty much anything during a game, including setting a pick for the ball handler. Okay? Giannis had 9 of his top 10 games as a screen setter in his entire career have come in these playoffs. Dang. He's setting 30 picks per 100 possessions in the playoffs, 19 in the regular season. Those numbers are jarring. They are stark, and they show me a player who has said, okay, I get it. I'm buying in.
I mean, that does show a lot of effort there, Jordan.
Buying in.
It's a heck of a stat there.
I think he bought in when he signed the contract.
Remember, this is how sports media goes, right? So Wendy says defining moment in his career, right? Dominic Foxworth. You know, y'all can tell me all y'all want about Giannis. They didn't close games.
We know they have guys that can close the game. We know that Chris Paul can close the game. We know that Devin Booker is capable of closing games in those sorts of situations. We know that Giannis isn't that guy. Like, Giannis is great. He can carry your team for most of the game, but he's not the guy that you handed to in the last minute. The guy that you handed to in the last minute is Chris Middleton.
There you go.
Kind of have a point there. If you need a three. I mean, are you going to count on Giannis to shoot a three,
well, here's
big
my
three
thing.
Point
well,
shot?
I've been saying, though, he's any the guy that you want him to be the closer? Giannis?
Yeah, but if you need a three, I mean, you're going to give it to
Well, yeah, if you need
Chris
a three.
Middleton.
But again, hopefully you're at the point where you don't need a three, right?
Oh, come on.
What? I guess
you could close a game with Giannis.
You guess?
No, you can. But
okay,
I'm talking
so
about like
let me
if
ask
you want to.
If
you
Zion was a two-time MVP and the Pels are finally in the playoffs in the finals,
I'm not giving him the ball to shoot a three to tie up the game. I'm giving it to a three-point shooter.
Okay.
Or unless you're trying to
explain everything to you.
Unless you're trying to argue something.
That's
else.
Winning the game, closing the game, a series of possessions that either get you a bucket or. Send you to the free throw line, a defensive play, closing the game.
Yeah, Giannis.
Now, final 2 minutes, your guy's got to close the game, right? That's what I'm saying. Oh, here's another one. You're going to like this. Ready? You know why the Suns lost?
Why?
Your favorite word, young, youth. Jay Williams, can't forget, Suns are young.
DeAndre Ayton hasn't been to the playoffs before. Devin Booker hasn't been to the playoffs before. Cameron Johnson had a great bang last night on P.J. Tucker, but he's young. Mikal Bridges is young. The rest of the core of this team, they're young. And you felt that last night the Deer District was crazy out here. Talking about you had like 15,000 people that were going wild outside the stadium. The energy in the stadium was different. So having your first NBA Finals on the road experience, right, and dealing with that, I thought was an adjustment for them.
Did he not watch all the other series? They during this playoff run, the Suns won 9 straight games in a row, and this is their first. No. What do you mean they've never been in
because,
this situation?
Because Jordan,
before?
In today's sports media, you can't just lose. There has to be a reason that you lost. Did you know that?
Because they're young. Yet they won 9 straight inside the NBA, and could have been if they won one more in the top tier of elite company. With winning 10
like
straight.
Like I said, man, it's incredible. You can win, two MVPs. You can take a team to the finals. You can help be a guy that takes teams to the finals. No. Keyshawn Johnson on Giannis.
Players are sitting there watching the news, watching television, seeing fans riled up. And then you ride in on your bus and you see fans gathering, getting ready. All that stuff is psychological, believe it or not. And then as time goes on, you start to see other things develop. Then you take it to the court. And you talk about a guy like Giannis that gave him 41 points last night. Whenever he does what Giannis is supposed to do, he gets the M, the V, maybe not the P. Not quite yet for Yates. He just get the M and the V. 41 points and dominating all the way around in the paint. When he starts shooting bunker threes, that's when the Bucks are in trouble. When he does exactly what he did, giving you 13 boards and another, six assists.
Yeah.
That's big time MVP basketball. And now everybody else can chime in.
I don't really know what it is that he just said.
Me either. So,
is he good or is he not? I don't.
He put up 2 straight 40 point games in a finals.
Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans. All right. Even if they say you're wrong, well, it's all.
Is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals
at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Greg LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your #1 volume dealer in Houma. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever, between Home and Thibodeau, or online at SouthernTrailerWorks.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Matt Moscona. And after further review, no doubt we'll touch on the fact that LSU has not, not enjoyed today's MLB draft of the second round, Jordan. You know why? Four players, four recruits have gone so far within the first five rounds. Florida, four. LSU, four. Arkansas, three. Mississippi State, three. Vandy, three. I think the SEC is getting some top players. Those are guys that have been drafted within the first five rounds. And Wilson saying probably means these guys go. About an hour ago, he tweeted, Wilson Alexander of the Picayune and Advocate. LSU probably just lost the second catcher in its signing class. It was the Texas Rangers picked Ian Moeller. 103 overall. Four LSU signees have been taken today. That was an hour ago. So maybe more than that. Actually, no, I just went through the list. It's four right now. So there you go. Matt will touch on that too. Coming up. I did want to play this before we left. Happened, obviously, yesterday. Surgery. Connor, I did listen to it to make sure it was clean, Jordan. So,
that's good.
Here he is.
What's up, Fight fans? The Notorious here. Just out of the surgery room. Everything went to plan. Everything went perfect. I'm feeling tremendous. We got 6 weeks on a crutch now, and then we begin to build back. You know, I want to thank all the fans all around the world for your messages of support. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank all the fans in attendance at the T-Mobile Arena, 21,800 fans in attendance. The place was absolutely electric. It would have been, it was a hell of a first round. It would have been nice to get into that second round and then, you know, to see what's what. But it is what it is. That's the nature of the business, a clean break of the tibia, and it was not to be. You know, Dustin, you can celebrate that illegitimate win all you want, but you've done nothing in there. That second round would have shown all. And, you know, onwards and upwards we go, team. We dust ourselves off, we build ourselves back, and we come back better than ever. Let's go, team.
You know, Dana White's already said that the fourth one's coming.
I'm sure it's going to
You know what? Give me 14 of them. Whatever. I love it. Go ahead and just talk away. Your wife sent me DMs. I mean, the dude's literally sitting there with a broken leg. I get a scratch, dude. Like, I have zero pain tolerance to an extent. I mean, I do. I mean, like, to, like, your normal, you know, it stings, it hurts and stuff like that. But I don't know if I could be that calm.
Getting punched in the face?
Well, first off, you are a different breed of human. I was sitting there talking to my wife Saturday. I was like, you're just a different breed of human. I mean, you just are. To A, want to do this. I know people love watching it. I'm not talking about the desire to watch, you know, sports like this, but I have zero desire at all for fun to have my ear look like that, my nose broken, lacerations. Like, I don't enjoy that at all. So I can say because here's the thing, and especially this sport, we saw it with Rousey, we're seeing it with him too. Like, you never stay at the top. I mean, Father Time really comes after you in a sport like this. I mean, Anderson Silva, like, some of the best, biggest names that even if you don't follow, you know, have suffered gruesome injury. Like Silva broke his leg. I mean, that guy was unbeatable. And then they do. I mean, McGregor was unbeatable. Now he can't win. I mean, things break. Like that's a sport, man, where different breed. I'll talk about, there's some people that love it. I just could never, ever imagine myself being an MMA fighter. Not built that way, dude. You
pay me enough.
Here we go. It's all about the money for you, isn't it? All about the money.
Gus,
for you.
I mean, if someone's willing to pay you $20 million,
you're
not doing it?
I'm good.
You could fix your face with that money.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
You fight for what? 30 minutes?
Yeah. Well, what if I can't see? What if you break my overall socket or something?
How many fighters have fought and haven't lost vision?
Look, man, I'll tell you what. I'll come support you. You and your $20 million can come, and I'll be right there ringside. I'll be supporting you.
I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were all in.
Know.
What song you walking into? Huh? What's your walk-in song?
I have no clue.
You have no clue in your walk-in song? Sean Payton spoke earlier, or yesterday, was it yesterday or today that Fletcher had him on? I think it was yesterday. And we had Fletcher on earlier in the day, and Coach Payton was asked about the pressure, about picking a quarterback, and he had this to say.
There's a part of you as a coach that appreciates it, and you think about it, and there is you feel that responsibility to everyone else on the team. We feel like we've got a real good football team. Both of those guys have done a great job this offseason in what was a kind of a little unique offseason, I would say. But I think there's that challenge of winning each year, and especially with our current roster. It's important you get good, solid play at that position. We know that. Fortunately, we've been able to do that in the prior 2 years when Drew's been hurt. But replacing someone like Drew and the career he's had, it really falls on all of us. You know, it falls on the coaches. It falls on the other players.
The other aspect of it from Coach Payton here that I thought was interesting in his chat with Fletcher, because, again, the quarterback thing is going to be a fascinating thing to sort of see. And I understand what he's saying, that you kind of enjoy it. It's interesting. I mean, you're picking a new quarterback, and if you truly are a coach and you truly are a guy that likes to build offenses, this is a different chapter. And I think these guys are where they are, and as Fletcher said, the second most tenured coach in the NFL, you don't last this long if you don't enjoy and embrace challenge. You know? I mean, anyone can win when you have the best player. So how can you try to find that and start that over again? Look, I think he reset the second go around. Drew said he's been on three teams, right? Remember, the team that made its way to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. the 7-9 bad teams, and then this final latest, round. You know, resurgence. So I see what he's saying, that it can kind of give you a new life. And I've said this. From the day that the season ended to now, Sean sounds gung-ho about this season. Like, he's excited. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people be like, oh, wow, I don't, I just lost all.